So this evening, I had a thought with some thoughts that were stirring around, and we've been sharing a number of messages on this theme of the voice of faith, and we've shared a number of messages, and you can go back and look at those on either Facebook or YouTube, or you can go to our website and look at those, you know, watch those messages, and they'll bless you. But I had a thought this evening that we can limit God in the area of our faith. And, you know, some folks may say, well, God can do anything. He's supreme. He's, you know, he's over everything. He can do whatever he wants. And in some ways, you know, that's true. But when it comes to getting things done, he operates through his body. And we can, you know, just like your own body. Your body can, your mind can want to do something, but if your body decides, I'm not doing that, then it doesn't get done. You don't achieve it. So your body has to be in what? Your heart could want to do something, but your soul and your body could not be in agreement with it and just doesn't yield or doesn't respond to what's in your heart. And it's the same thing here. God is what? The head of the church. And if the church does not respond, if the church doesn't yield to those promptings from God, then it doesn't get, it's not going to get done through us. Now, sometimes, you know, there are others that'll yield and it'll get done. But there are some things that I believe that, you know, in the scheme of things, there may be some things that get shortchanged because we don't pray. You know, I remember the story that Brother Hagin shared in back in the 70s, the Lord appeared to him or spoke to him and said, you know, I want you to pray for this government. And he showed him some things. And they did for a while, but they didn't persist. And he said, had you prayed, he said, I'm going to hold you and the church accountable. And he said, because had you prayed, he said, we would not have had the issues that we had. And at that time, it happened to be the Watergate things that went on. And of course, you had a president at that time and Richard Nixon, and there were some things that transpired. And he said that had you prayed and been consistent to pray, we wouldn't have experienced those things. So that's what I mean by the fact where we can limit God doing some things by us not yielding or responding. So faith, when we talk about things, I think about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. God, in this case, in Christ, God was in Christ, and that was during his earthly ministry. And so it was God, in Acts 10:38, God who anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So God was in Christ doing good and healing. So God, in this case, if the woman with the issue of blood hadn't got up, hadn't gone and hadn't released her words in faith and said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. What did the disciples say? And he said, somebody touched me. Power has flown out of, gone out of me. And the disciples responded and said, that you're being pressed on every side. Your people are touching you. What do you mean somebody has touched you and power has gone out of me? So people who were touching him were limited, right? They didn't receive. But she was not limited. So God was not limited in this area where she came what? Expecting to receive something. So faith, her faith was released And what happened? She received. Same with the centurion. When he said, you know, would you come and heal my servant? And Jesus said, yeah, I will. And then what did he say? He said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And of course, we know the rest of the story that he was at the same hour. But that servant wouldn't have been healed had not that centurion released some faith in his words. So we need to, remind ourselves, and that's what we've been sharing and highlighting in these messages, that we are a spirit and we communicate with God through our spirit. And so spiritual things are received where? In our spirit. So God is a spirit, John 4:24. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says that God made us in his image and likeness. And so we are a spirit being, and we need to be developing this spirit of ours. You know, things that we have access to can just be dormant. And we don't receive because we're not what? We're not initiating something. We're not reaching out. We're not taking advantage of this covenant that we have that's been bought and sealed for us. And this covenant that we have, these covenant rights that we have been sealed in the blood of Jesus. And so the faith that we are to release is in words. Faith is activated by words. And we shared some things here that Jesus said in John 6:63 in the King James Version. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, but it says the flesh profits nothing or profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So God's words are spirit, and the words that he spoke are spirit and they are life. And the words that we speak come from where? Our spirit. Yes, they're articulated in this earth realm, this realm that we live in, through this body, through this tongue, and our mind, you know, puts words together. But the words that we speak and that they come from the heart are containers of faith. And the words that we speak, you know, we hear them with our ears, but they're containers of something that's spiritual, supernatural, and it's faith. And those faith words are planted in the heart. You know, there's something that's interesting when you look at what Paul shared to the Corinthian church, and this is the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. You know, some would say, well, how is the word of God going to get planted in my heart? How is that? And if the word of God is seed, and how does that get planted? Well, look what Paul said here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, I planted, this is the New Living, I planted the seed in your hearts. See, so he planted the word of God. He called it seed in where? Your hearts. And he said, and Apollos watered it. That means he shared it and they kept hearing it. That's the watering process. But it was God who made it grow. So Paul said, I planted the seed where? In your hearts. How did it get planted? They heard it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So the seed got planted in their heart. Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it to grow. Verse 7, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed to grow. And then it goes on. The one who plants and the one who waters works together. They work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. So we are God's field. What's the field? It's our spirit. And that's the ground. And remember, the seed cannot produce unless it's planted in the heart. So it's not enough to just plant it, but you just think in the natural. If I have a ground, it doesn't produce. The ground doesn't just decide to produce. Even if it's weeds, it's a seed. So the ground will lay dormant unless something is planted. And it's the same with our spirit. God has taken up residence by his spirit in our spirit, but it's the word of God, the seed of the word of God that gets planted in our spirit and watered that produces a harvest. So if you want a harvest of healing in your body, you have to do what? You have to plant God's seed concerning healing and keep watering it, and it will produce a harvest of healing in your body. You will operate, this body will operate supernaturally. And so the same thing, if I want a harvest of prosperity, how do I receive that? I plant the seed of God's word into my spirit, and I keep watering it, and over time, as it's developed, it will produce a harvest of prosperity. How is that done? You have to plant the seed, and you have to speak what's in your heart. You got to speak the word. We which believe do speak, 2 Corinthians 4:13. And then it goes on, this is another scripture verse here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the King James, and starting in verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, or you could say the seed, when you received it, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So what happened? They opened their hearts up, they believed, they received, and this is going back. Paul said to the Corinthians church, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. Philippians 2:13, it says, God who was at work in me, both to what? To will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God that's working in me. It's his seed that's working in me, both to will and to do of what it says. It's his good pleasure. It's his will that we prosper. And Isaiah 55:11, this is, you know, Isaiah the prophet speaking, said what? So shall my word be, this is God speaking through the apostle Isaiah, a prophet Isaiah, he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth what? Out of my mouth, it shall not what? Return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So just what we're sharing is, if we don't receive the seed and we don't water it, then the results are going to be limited. God will be limited in what he can do through us individually. But we're going to have to do what? Continually receive the seed. We're going to have to keep watering it. And that seed, the harvest, is in the seed. You know, we keep saying this. If you want to know what a farmer is going to receive, what type of harvest, look at the type of seed that he's sowing. He's not going to sow one thing and get something else. So if you want to know what type of harvest that farmer receives, look at the type of seed. If you want to know what size of the harvest, look at what he plants. Look at the size of the seed, the number of seeds that he plants. And also, I was thinking about this also, if you want to look at, again, the size of the harvest, the ground or the fields or the size of the fields are the opportunity. So the ground is the opportunity. So when we have opportunities to sow, it's ground that seed is being sown into. You know, so often you hear people say, thank you for the ground of this ministry that we sow into, or a ministry that we're sowing into. It's ground that we're sowing into. It's an what? It's an opportunity to sow. So just like the farmer, he has all these fields, and if he has only a small amount of field to farm, then he'll have a smaller harvest. So that's his opportunity. His fields are his opportunity. So again, the words that we speak are containers of either death or life. And so what we speak with those words, you know, it says in Matthew 12, in the New Living Translation, in verse 35, Matthew 12 and verse 35 in the New Living Translation, it says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury. That was what I wanted to highlight, the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Verse 37, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So it's important that the words that we speak are not idle. They're full of faith. This is what Proverbs 18:21, I like this in the Passion Translation, and Proverbs 18:21, it says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. So the words that we speak can be either full of life or full of death, or full of love or full of doubt or full of fear. And so we need to be conscious of the fact that our words produce something. It can produce a result. And we were sharing this on Sunday, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 in the Amplified Classic. And familiar scripture verse, but I wanted to read this in the Amplified Classic. It says, for the word of God... for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. So God's word has the ability to divide and has the ability to do what? To separate and sift and analyze and judge between the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. And one of the things that it shares in the Passion Translation in Hebrews 11:3, because words, again, God spoke things into existence. We know that from right from the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis. But I like in Hebrews 11:3 in Passion, in that chapter talking about faith, it says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. And then it goes on, he spoke and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. And I like this, if they have the Weymouth translation, I believe we do, we can put that up in the same verse, Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds came into being and still exist at the command of God, so that what is seen does not owe its existence to that which is visible. So we're sharing all of this to remind ourselves that we can either get God actively involved, or we can limit or restrict him from what? We can open up the doors to the supernatural realm by our words. We can also open up the doors to the devil to come in and do some things and allow him to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy by the words that we speak. We give him the right to now do some things in our lives, just the same way we give God the right to come in and move under our blood-bought covenant to do some things in our behalf. So our words are key, they're important, they create, and they'll do things because what? We're made in the image and likeness of God. We're a spirit. And those things, these words, come from where? Our spirit. And the scripture verse I wanted to look at here in New Living Translation, Colossians 3, chapter 1, verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. So God is telling us to do what? Set our sights, seek those things that which are above and where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So we're to pursue things. We may have other responsibilities. We may not be called to a ministry place or position. We may have a job. We may own a business. But even in all of that, it says here, we are to do what? Seek those things which are above, the heavenly realities. What does that mean? Faith is a heavenly reality. Love is a heavenly reality. Peace is a heavenly reality. Kindness is a heavenly reality. And so, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pursue those things and reject those things that we see being propelled in the earth, which is, you know, fear and hate and backbiting and all of these things. We are to do what? Not pursue those, but pursue heavenly realities. And I like the way that puts they won't put this up, but this is the Johnson translation or paraphrase. It says, if indeed you have experienced God's resurrection power, then live a resurrection life. And that's really what God is saying. Seek those things which are above and where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. If you've been raised with him by the resurrection power of God, then live this resurrection life. Don't be carnally minded. Don't be earthly minded. Be and pursue God's purposes and things here on the earth. When Pastor Clinton was alive, he used to say, kingdom building is our job. And, you know, you need to have your mind on things that are above and not on this earth. Now, let's take a look again, taking a look at 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the King James translation. And again, this is watering. So we're going back through and we're just reminding ourselves that we're not going to limit God in what we do in this earth and as a member of the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So what we believe, we all know this just in the natural. The things that you believe, you speak. So really, if you know, we've been sharing this through these lessons, that faith speaks what it expects. So faith voices its expectations. So things, you know, if you're not sure about something and you're hesitant about something, most times people don't speak it. They'll think about it for a while. They'll think about it, keep meditating on it, and they'll do what? Form an opinion or a belief, and then they begin to do what? Speak it. So it's the same thing with the things of God. I'm not saying to not speak it because God's word is different. God's word is spiritual, and it will move you from a place of unbelief to belief, which is different than words spoken just in general, idle words. But even if you don't believe something, if you continue to speak it, you will begin to believe the word of God. So that which we believe, we must speak, and we become, and what is that? That word faith is really just being persuaded of something. So when you're persuaded of something, you speak. And again, just a point, if we don't take our God-given authority and speak to mountains in our life, then we limit God. What do we mean by that? We limit what he can do in and through us. Here's a scripture that in Psalm 78, verse 41, and this is the King James Version. And this is talking about Israel and their stiff-necked and ways. And it says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and did what? And limited the Holy One of Israel. So a lot of times people say, well, you can't limit God. He can do anything. Well, here's what they did. They limited the Holy One of Israel because they turned back. They didn't respond. They resisted. And it what? It tempted God. Now let's look at this same verse in the Passion Translation. I like the way this is expressed here. It says, again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Boy, this is powerful. And it says, continually, they turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel. And just continue to verse 42. I think it just expands a little more on this. It says, they forgot his great love, how he took them by his hand, and with redemption's kiss, he delivered them from their enemies. Wow. So they just turned aside. They didn't respond to God. They didn't respond to him. They forgot about how, because that's this whole story. They forgot about how he delivered them through the Red Sea. They forgot about how he fed them with manna. They forgot his great love for them and watching over them. And then what does it say? Again and again, they limited God from blessing them. And you know what? We can do the same thing in this earth. We can get busy and we can limit God from him operating through us to get things done in a region, in an area, in your home, anything, in your job. You can limit him by just doing what? Not yielding, not responding to him. And you forget his great love. You know, sometimes we just forget about, you know, we forget how he saved us and how he delivered us from things in our life, and we forget, and we limit what he does in our life. And so it's important that we don't limit God, because we are his body here in this earth, and he needs us to get the things done that he needs to get done. So just in, you know, capping up for this evening, you know, we've shared a lot of thoughts concerning the voice of faith, but even here, when we talk about don't limit God, we're talking about we can limit God by just believing something and not voicing it or speaking. And God may speak some things to you as an individual to do, and they may be way out, far out beyond what you could even ask, think, or imagine. And he may ask you to do something, and you go, how am I ever going to do that? But if he spoke that to you, then what's our response should be? Yes, Lord, I believe that, and we're going to do that. I don't know how I'm going to get it done, but you are working in and through me. You're showing me how to do that. And you begin to give voice, just like Mary did when the angel Gabriel came. And she said, and he delivered a word from heaven. And she said, be it unto me, even as you've spoken, right? And so that seed, that holy thing, was planted in her when she said, be it unto me. So I think just again, sharing, let's not limit God in what he can do in and through us. Let's believe for great things. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, set your goals high. I'd rather set them high and reach the half of them than set them to nothing and reach all of them. So let's set our goals high. Let's believe God. Let's not limit God, because time is short. And Jesus is returning soon, and I believe much sooner than we realize. And we're to be busy and active in our lives. And yes, we have responsibilities and all the things that we have in life that you know, keep us busy and responsible. But we need to do what? Our spirits need to be attuned to heaven so that he can speak to us. You know, we were sharing today in prayer, what did Jesus say? He said, I do those things that my Father shows me and tells me to do. So he was in communication with heaven. Praise God. And we need to be also. So Father, we thank you this evening for these thoughts. We purpose to respond to you. We purpose to yield to you in the things that you tell us to do. And we will not limit you in what you can do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, before we receive our offering, we never leave this setting without giving individuals an opportunity, because we don't know who may be watching or who will watch. And we always provide an opportunity for someone to receive Christ as their Savior. And so, as the scripture says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that we are to do what? Confess the Lord Jesus and to believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. So if you believe that Jesus is the Savior of mankind and that he redeemed us, then it's our opportunity to confess him as Lord, to confess him as your personal Lord and Savior, and that you believe that God raised him from the dead. And if you did that, the scripture says you shall be saved. And so if you're watching this evening and you desire to receive Jesus as your Savior, then let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus came to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, as it shares in Romans chapter 8. And I believe that he came to redeem mankind and to destroy the works of the devil. And so I receive him now as my Savior, and I believe that he has cleansed me with the blood of Jesus. He has changed my spirit supernaturally and redeemed it. And I thank you, and I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I believe that, and I confess that I am now saved. So if you said that simple prayer, then let us know by either emailing us to the information on the screen, or you can write us or give us a phone call and let us know that you prayed that prayer, and we will send you some free information as to what happened to you and who you have become in Christ. Glory to God. Praise God. So exciting because, you know, you are a spirit, as we were sharing, you are a spirit. And when you leave this body, the real you will either go to heaven or hell, because that spirit is what goes to heaven. And then when Jesus returns, our spirit and our body are reunited. So, praise God.